Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing the flack that we got for not liking Runaways. We're giving Runaways feedback a chance, though.
Mm-hmm. Hear what you guys had to say, because a lot of you liked it, and we were a little down on it, at least portions of it. So, yeah, let's talk about Runaways some more. Woo! All that reference ad that we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
What's up, buddy?
Man, this week has been the most tiring.
Oh, yeah?
I was on site with a client for 4 solid days, and it was like, you know, I'm up at 6:30 or so, and I'm working solid until like 10 o'clock at night every day.
Wow.
My brain was just zapped. This weekend, I slept until at least noon both days, and that never happens anymore.
Hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a really bad week. That sounds worse than mine. I had 3 weddings in the last week, and that's a lot of work to play 3 weddings. And so, yeah, my week has been real crazy too. And I'm trying to finish this album. So, like, yeah, it's been a crazy week. But you know what? Let's talk about some Runaways. Let's take a load off and talk about some Runaways.
Yes, let's put our feet up. But first, as we are wont to do now, let's talk about a 5-star review from our iTunes people. Let's see. This one's from G. Kess. It says, best Marvel podcast out there. I listen to a few Marvel podcasts, but Matt and Jeff offer the best complete podcast experience for the Marvel fan. They are both incredibly knowledgeable and have some deep thoughts that make unpacking shows and looking ahead exciting, and are really funny with their dry wit and humor. Each week I look forward to hearing from these quote-unquote friends I've never met to chat about a topic I and so many other Marvel fans love.
Yay. Love it. That is awesome. I really love people feeling like we're their friends, because I feel that way about many podcasts I listen to. And honestly, when we hear from you guys, it really means a lot. So thank you. You're awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, GKS, for telling us that we are deep thinkers, because we like to hear that every now and again, because we know that we're not. We know you're wrong, and it's nice.
Sometimes we come up with clever things here and there.
Yeah, okay. I'll give myself at least to that much.
Oh, no, I meant mostly me.
Oh, yeah. See that? And that's where we're wrong again.
Yeah. All right. Let's dive into some Runaways feedback.
All right. So we were a little harsh on the Runaways, and I don't know that I'm necessarily sorry about it, but there are other opinions, and we need to show the listeners that they're not alone if they liked it. For instance, Sherman Smith said on Facebook, sorry, Elizabeth Hurley is fantastic in Runaways and not just how she looks.
Hmm. Is that something we said?
Oh, I look back on it. I remember back to the conversation we were having, and I just kept saying how hot she was and how attractive she is and how much
you thought her character was.
Yeah, kind of, basically. Okay.
Gotcha.
Just like, she looks so good, and she did so great in so many other things, but I just kept focusing on the looks, and that's kind of piggish of me.
Well, you were trying to find a thing to compliment. I remember very vividly you were trying to find a thing to compliment, and Elizabeth Hurley being beautiful is definitely a target for that particular thing. But
apparently that's what I do. It's like, oh, well, you look good.
Well, and Sherman went on to say, just finished episode 5 of Runaways. I heard the cast. I guess not reading the comic and having no expectations for the series is an advantage. I'm enjoying it so far.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe that is, I always hate when people don't like things because of their preconceived expectations. And I admit that is definitely part of what was going on, but really just for that one character, I feel like, that we discussed ad nauseum last week. I think that for the most part, my expectations were pretty normal for the show, but I do really wish they'd done that character differently. That we talked about ad nauseum last week, and it's a big spoiler, so let's move on.
Let's just move on and let people enjoy what they enjoy. Brian Medina sent us a message saying, hey guys, love the podcast. Last half of the season was really enjoyable with many awesome dynamics and threads going through the story. Spoiler alert for the final episode. If we forget for a second that it's in the MCU and forget the rules of Endgame, it was truly entertaining to watch this time travel mini story that some might think gives episode 9 less meaning. And the Cloak and Dagger cameo episode was done perfectly. Keep up the good work. Best, Brian Medina.
Yeah, I agree with Brian on all of that. I think it's a lot of it's really fun. And if this show had more, like if this were not a series finale, that episode 9 would have been a fine ending to the season. It just felt like they had to tack on this thing because they found out they were ending. And it, so that I love what they did. I said it last week, but what they did with what they had, I think they made it. I think they made lemonade out of lemons, but like, yeah,
there were definitely still kind of sour.
Yeah. Still a little sour, but you know, I agree. I agree that they did a really good job. And I do, you know me, I love a time travel story.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew like when the episode was happening, I was like, this is going to be Matt's favorite.
And yeah, it was for this season, it was my favorite for sure.
Like as it kept going, I was like, this could have been a whole season. This could have been a whole good season, please.
Possibly.
I guess I'm just mad that they're canceling it more than anything because that, you know, condensed the timeline, that crunched the timeline.
Yeah. And as much as we say bad things about it, the main thing we're upset about is that it had to end and it had to kind of trunk. I think most of the problems with this story are because it's, we have expectations not only from the comics, but expectations on it being the end of this series and rounding out all these arcs. And I felt like instead they took weird breaks from a lot of the character arcs by having them be, you know, other characters. And so, you know, I don't feel like we got a great ending to Runaways, but if they had gone on to make 7 seasons of Runaways and this was like a weird third season where they did some weird stuff, like it wouldn't be so bad. The expectations of a final season are part of why I think I felt poorly towards it more than anything.
I feel like we're being a little bit apologist for ourselves.
A little bit.
For being so mean.
Because, well, the thing is, I'm hearing all you guys say nice things, and I don't disagree with any of them, really. There's very few things I disagree with. I think that most of the problems with this show are because of the way, it sounds like whatever, Marvel decided to cancel it and didn't really give them a chance to finish out what they were trying to do with the series.
Yep.
That's always disappointing.
It is. You wish they had a little more time. You wish that, you know, maybe they got incorporated into the MCU properly. But, you know, we have what we have. And
hey, we got a Runaways TV show.
Yeah.
A comic I truly love. And they did a pretty good job with it for the most part. So, like, I really can't complain too bad.
Like, thinking back to circa 2008 when Iron Man hit the big screen, did you think that that would have spawned a Runaways TV show that was as good as it was?
At all. There may have been expectations of like a, you know, other crossovers because of that Nick Fury moment. We're like, oh, we're going to get Thor and Captain America and like all these other Avengers are going to be here. But I never would have expected them to get the mutants' rights back. I never would have expected Spider-Man to work into it. And Eve on a way more out there level, I never would have expected Runaways to get a TV show that even nominally is in that universe.
Right? Like, Runaways, come on. It's like the most unknown, just completely, like, you're looking at the Avengers on the shelf, and then, like, over there in a box to your far right, several racks down, is like, there's Runaways down there. What's that about? I don't know. Yeah, I'm an Avengers guy. Anyway, so, very, very happy that we got the series, but, you know, it could have been a little bit better with more time. Anyway, beside the point. Moving on. Drew Grek said in an email, "Hi guys, I am now all caught up on everything Marvel Cinematic Universe. It took a while, but I'm proud of myself. 23 movies, 363 episodes of television, but I wanted to give my feedback on the final season of Runaways. Spoilers!"
Wow. I wonder how long it took Drew to get caught up, because I know he's been writing in for a while, so I wonder when he started his big rewatch, or big watch of everything.
Yeah, give us a timeline, Drew.
Yeah, because I'd like to know. I'm curious. I've been rewatching a lot of Star Trek, and it's taken me forever.
Do you still have a job and or family? Did you give those up for this? Because I don't know if it's worth it. Anyway, he says, "Spoilers. First, what do you mean this show is not connected to the larger MCU? Back in season 2, Alex said that he could make Livy's phone look like it was in the mountains of Wakanda. In season 3, Morgan had the Darkhold from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Also had Cloak and Dagger. Cloak and Dagger references Luke Cage, which ties in with Daredevil, which we know is part of the MCU. This season did feel a lot like S.H.I.E.L.D. We got 2 seasons in one. The first one was everything with the Magistrate, and the second was all about Morgan. I liked that a lot. It felt very episodic like The Mandalorian. Keep up the good work."
Nice. Yeah, those are all great points. It is definitely, as I said, nominally in the MCU, but there are a few things that give us pause. And specifically, the thing that bothers me is like when the... It's so nerdy. Sometimes
when Chase's dad,
like,
mentions not knowing about aliens.
Yes, that really bothers me. My love of canon and a tight canon, like, sometimes it bothers me. And just now I had one of those moments, but because I'm like, I'm about to sound so nerdy, but when Chase's dad references, when they find out about the alien life and they're like, oh my gosh, we've discovered alien life. This is a completely new thing to the world. He says something to the effect of, this will change the way we think about our universe. And it's like, didn't you just watch like a alien force attack New York a few years ago? So there's little problems with it where they just like, kind of are lazy with the canon. And there's the Obama thing where Obama was president in Runaways and he is not president in the MCU. At least not in the same time period. So could we have, what was the president's name? You remember?
I believe
Ellis? Is it Ellis?
Keller? Helen Keller? It was President Helen Keller.
President Helen Keller instead of Obama. So
it was Ellis. Yeah, it was Matthew Ellis. As played by William Sadler.
Yeah, so there's little problems with the canon. It's not that they didn't try. They definitely made connections, but it's one thing to make connections. It's another thing to just kind of ignore it when you feel like it, to make a joke or whatever. And they kind of did that.
Yeah, yeah. And just, I've said too much. I've said too much about it. I don't want to keep going on about how, like,
we're definitely not here to argue that Runaways was bad. We're here to give everyone else the chance to say what they want to say.
Yes.
Which is what we're doing today.
So if it involves me being quiet so that they can, I will do that. So next up, Dapo Vieira. His name is killer. Alassian. Yeah. We're not here to listen to me stumble over names. Dapo says, listening to your Runaways final episode's cast, and I wanted to make a comment on a few points. One, I was sure they mentioned that the Darkhold in the show was another copy and not the one from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Two, the Cloak and Dagger crossover episode was nice, but I feel it should have been more epic, and I was left feeling unfulfilled by it. Three, the time travel used in the final episode was the final nail in the coffin that any of this can be headcanoned into being part of the MCU. I still hope the actors can reprise their roles in the MCU proper, but with entire new story backgrounds.
Hmm. Interesting. I don't remember the Darkhold thing. I don't remember them mentioning. I don't know how they would have mentioned this is a different Darkhold, unless they somehow just mentioned that there are multiple Darkholds. Right? Because they wouldn't go on screen and be like, this is a different one than you saw in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like, I don't know how they would say that.
Yeah, they don't even know about the one from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They didn't mention the Darkhold pretty much at all in The Runaways, other than to say it's Morgan's spellbook.
Right, which makes me think it came with her from that other dimension, which makes me think maybe that's where Ghost Rider took it, which I really love that. If that's what the canon is, I freaking love it. That is some tight canon, and I love it. I just wish those few things. As he said, the time travel in the final episode is the nail in the coffin. But, like, you know, I can headcanon that. I can headcanon the time travel thing, just like maybe, and I know Tony's smart, but maybe Tony and Banner are wrong. You know, like they came up with their version of time travel that works, but maybe there is a different possible version of time travel out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we said with the Cable coming back in time thing. Like, oh yeah, you guys, you know, you've got your time travel, and well, we fixed that whole not being able to go to different points on the same timeline thing in the future.
Right. Some sort of technobabble. Yeah, that's how time travel works, but I have this device that makes it work differently. You know, like that's fine. Time travel is not a real thing as of now, so time travel, like, it's not like the people who made Endgame, it's not like Marcus and McFeely, when they were writing that, said, you know what, this is how time travel needs to work. They wrote time travel the way they wanted it to work for their story to make sense. You know,
they did have a consulting physicist, though.
Sure. And that's fine, but, like, that's... Back to the Future is just as good a movie... Okay, well, Back to the Future's time travel is just as valid as Endgame. I would say it's probably just as good a movie as Endgame, but just a very different scale.
Yeah.
But yeah, Back to the Future isn't any less good because its time travel doesn't conform to Endgame's. The problem is when you have two different versions of time travel that make sense in the universe. And I just say it's two different scientists that have two different philosophies and maybe found two different technologies that accomplish it differently.
Oh man, it's time travel technology that conforms to your will, right? It's how you will it to be, is how that time travel works.
Yeah, that's how it works for the writers anyway.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Faux show.
Faux show. And to put one small counterpoint, not even a counterpoint, on Dapo, just to say, I like the actors that we have in The Runaways, but at this point they are too old to reprise their roles in the MCU or on Disney Plus. So it would very likely be completely new actors that Marvel would be getting for those guys.
Yeah, if they remade Runaways, it would probably be a whole new cast, I'm guessing. Yeah. I mean, their ages were a problem kind of from the beginning. It's actually funny they made Chase an older person in the last episode because he is older by a good bit than all the other actors.
He's 27.
Yeah, so it's funny that they actually let him play his age to some degree. In the final episode of Runaways.
When they gave him the 5 o'clock shadow and everybody's like, hey, what's with the 5 o'clock shadow? Well, I'm an adult. So, you know, this happens.
I'm an adult. It's just really funny. Really funny.
I'm an adult man.
I'm just going to start saying I'm an adult to things for whatever reason. All right.
For any reason.
Yeah.
All the reasons.
I'm an adult. I feel like anyone saying I'm an adult immediately makes them sound like they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of the same way as going like, oh, I'm a smart guy. Like, it kind of makes you seem like you're not.
Right? Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Yep. It's weirdly true. It's like, it's the whole you doth protest too much thing.
Yes. Oh, man. Enough on this. Let's move on. God. Sherman Smith said to us on Facebook, just heard the podcast on the last episodes of Runaways. I always got the impression that Hurley's character in Bedazzled was mischievous. I think her character in Runaways was just evil. That was the difference for me. For me, if the other characters are portrayed with depth, the villain doesn't have to be. I do believe that even in real life, some people are just evil, and I'm not interested in their justifications and motivations.
Hmm. That is where we differ, Sherman Smith. I don't think generally, unless someone's really broken psychologically, and then to me they're just broken. I don't think people are evil, generally speaking.
But even those broken people, it's interesting to go back and see what caused them to be broken.
Yeah. I don't generally think people are evil. Even people that we disagree with greatly for whatever reason, even if people are, you know, horrible, like a lot of times they're just living out the script that was kind of like they were either raised on or they were taught or they were, I think in many ways people are just people and they're trying to live their lives. And like, we got to figure out, I don't know. Sorry, I'm about to get on my little soapbox about
here it comes.
The morality of whatever.
No, do it.
The
do
morality it. And keeping peace between people and da 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 da. But anyway, yeah, all that stuff. I just think that people aren't, and that's why I think that to me, that's why in stories it's important to have those sort of grays, is because if stories train us there is an enemy, then we go on continuing to confront an enemy instead of having these more complex stories as adults where we start to have complex stories where, you know, there's not always a good and a bad. There's often these levels of gray, and watching these characters and understanding them helps us to understand the people who might disagree with us in real life. Like, that's, to me, that's why it bothers me when these stories are like, oh, that's just an evil person. Because then when you think about the analog to your own life, instead you see that person, you're like, oh, that person is my Morgan Le Fay. Instead of going, that person is my Tony Stark or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they're just different, and they have different goals. They have different intentions. And, you know, I find that more interesting and better for us all morally, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, that's my hope. That you told me to do it. I did it. That's my soapbox.
It's kind of like you're my Loki, you know? You're my adopted brother that undermines the shit out of me, right?
I'm your Loki?
Are you? Oh, about that.
Oh man, I gotta give a shout out to the MCU cast chat group.
Okay,
we had a really great chat yesterday. It went on really long, and actually I ended up going to work, and I didn't get to finish being a part of it. But we just had a chat about villains. It actually would be a really good conversation to have on cast, but probably not on a Runaways episode. But we were just talking about like. Villains, and is it possible to make a convincing villain that is charismatic enough that they're fun to watch while not giving them the Loki treatment and not killing them off.
Oof.
And so we went real deep. We were like, I don't know, like 60 comments deep of just like people coming back and forth with different, different ideas of what the villainy should be for different, whatever. I don't know. I think it all started with, we were talking about Christian Bale coming on, which we'll talk about on tomorrow's cast or on the next cast. But Christian Bale possibly in talks for Love and Thunder. And, we were talking about him possibly being, Norman Osborn.
Yeah. And
how good that could be. Christian Bale as Norman Osborn is so inspired. I freaking love it. Dylan Diggs is the one who posted that. And I think that is a great call.
Hmm.
I don't see why he'd be in Thor: Love and Thunder, but as Norman Osborn, I'd be fully on board.
Well, I mean, if they're going for a siege type thing, then Norman Osborn is absolutely necessary for that.
Good point.
The problem with that is that Norman Osborn is so, like, the rights to Norman Osborn are so deeply seated in Sony territory.
That's true.
There's absolutely no way that he could do that.
That's fair. Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten. I guess they could write a Norman Osborn-like character, but that wouldn't be fun.
it's Herman Melbourne.
Good old Herman.
I hate that Herman complexity character. he's got such a backstory.
His name's Herman H. Complexity. So stupid.
Dumbest character name.
Let's get back to these last few runaways feedbacks.
Okay. All right. Professional, very professional.
So professional.
Ryan Collins said, I just listened to the Runaways finale cast, and after thinking about the show as a whole, I have a question. How long is the timeline for this show? I was under the impression that season one through halfway through season three takes place over like a few weeks or months. It just seems that like it's all one after the other. Then, you know, they disappear and come back. I think they said 6 months later. Just wondering if I'm correct or if I missed something somewhere. Thanks.
That's my impression, too. I think they were intentionally vague about it, but it's my impression that it's basically the whole first two seasons are only a few weeks. And then This season, you only really experience a few weeks, but you do get a six-month time jump.
Yeah, we did get the six-month time jump in this season, and then at the end of it, they had the couple-of-year time jump, and then the
that's right, like, yeah.
overall eight-year for adult man Chase.
I'm an adult. That's Chase's that's the Chase's adult. famous catchphrase.
Oh man. I don't remember him saying that, but you know what? It sounds like him.
I'm an adult. I love it. I love it so much.
I love that you're putting so much more inflection on it than I said it with. Cause like,
yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, for
didn't
sure.
Didn't start there. And now you're just like whiny Chase. Like, I'm an adult, me.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. Okay. Well, that is all of our Runaways feedback, guys. That's all we got. I really appreciate y'all writing in. It makes me think about the show a little differently, honestly, because I think the show, while it had its problems, was actually pretty well done. And, you know, the one thing I can never forgive it, though, and I'm going to end on this. Why does Nico disappear twice? I mean, come on.
I mean, come on. In the exact same fashion?
It's weird. All right, that's all. And this is me signing off, saying I'm an adult.
I, too, am an adult. Until next time, adults.